Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SCL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Hi and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. It's episode 206 for the 7th of October 2012. It's a little bit late tonight, it's 9:30 on a Sunday evening. And what I thought I would do this week is talk about a photo book that I've been reading, Herbert's, and some stuff. I don't know what I've been playing around with some flash today in the garden of all places. But first, autumn's here. The mornings are darker. The nights get darker earlier. So it's a great time to get out, grab those sunsets, grab those sunrises, because you don't have to get out incredibly early. And if you're lucky, you can grab them before you go to work or before you get home. Look out for those fabulous autumn colours in the foliage. Or if you're down in the southern hemisphere, obviously we've got spring as well. Being a Sunday, been down the car boot this morning. Not much. Well, I tell a lie. I mean, we went to 3 car boots this morning. I tell it, we start really early. We got to Bridgemere about 7:15. Had a look round there, and then we did the one at Titchfield, but I think that'll be finishing soon, because as soon as the weather gets really bad, some of the car boot sales that are just on farmers' fields, they have to stop because the fields get too muddy. But we did Titchfield, and we did the big one at Burslem, which was very busy. But what did I pick up today? Fujifilm Instax 200, which is one of the big Fujifilm instant cameras that you can still get film for. And it was the silver version as well, in a box, very nice, turned on, had batteries in, for £3, so that was okay. I saw a lot of film SLRs at Burslem, but nothing that really caught my eye. They all tend to be practicas and the like, so I don't know, it's got to be quite special for me to get it these days. What I'm really after is lighting kit, but I think in all the time I've been to car boots over the last several years, I don't think I've ever seen any and light stands or stuff like that, and that's what I'm really after next. So I do remember actually going to one car boot sale, it might have been the one in Titchfield, where somebody was selling a big backdrop, but I wasn't really into flash at the time or portrait photography. I kind of left it. But who knows? You never know what. That's the beauty of car boots. You never know what you might find on the next stall. But what I did get this week from eBay was a second shoot-through umbrella, and the umbrella sort of strobe bracket as well. So when we got back from the car boot sale, and the weather was pretty good, what I thought I'd do was go outside and take some photos using my flashes with two shoot-through umbrellas. Because you get familiar with your kit, don't you? I mean, I've had the 350D for ages now, and the two lenses, the 18-55, 55-250, and recently the 50mm 1.8. But I haven't had the flashes for that long. And the practicalities of putting them on the stands, putting the umbrellas on, and all that sort of stuff. And as I've already said, I haven't got proper light stands, so the way that I mount my flashes with the umbrellas on is what I do, is I unscrew the handles, like the pan and tilt handle on the tripod, on an old tripod, and slide the umbrella flash bracket through there. And they make good light stands, very solid ones. The tricky bit, though, is if you want to put two umbrellas, shoot-through umbrellas, one above the other, to have like this big softbox effect for like a beauty light, the legs of the tripod's going to get tangled up with each other, and it makes it quite quite tricky to do. But I thought I'd try a few setups, and I managed to do a few. I did like two shoot-through umbrellas, one above the other, against like a leafy background. I got my white backdrop, you know, the slide screen out. So I did one of those. I did bare flash against the wall, and I did a single shoot-through umbrella against another leafy background with another flash lighting that background. One of the tricky things, actually, when I was doing this, was trying to get enough separation between the kind of main light on the subject and a separate light on the background, so you can get a layering effect with the lights. One of the exciting things about using off-camera flash or any type of lighting is the ability to have different light levels within the same scene. The ambient light that you've got in the scene, but then the main light that may be on your subject, and then a secondary light that could be on the background too. But you've got to be careful, because your main light can bleed through or kind of pollute the background, and that's where it can get quite tricky. So, the way around that is to use the inverse square law. Not practically thinking about it, but basically, if your main subject is standing further away from the background and you get your lighting closer to your subject, the light falls off of your subject very, very quickly, which means it doesn't contaminate the background, which you can then use another light source to then have a go with. But it was okay. It was a bit difficult, but one of the most difficult things, because I was having to do self-portraits with my camera on the self-timer, because I think the battery of my remote's gone flat. You know, I had a few issues with focusing and generally time. But, you know, I had a quick go at doing it, and I also had a bit of playing around with gelling the flashes as well. Because one of the problems with flashes is that although they're daylight balanced to strong sunlight, which means that they can appear, well, I find them, they appear a little bit cold. It's not the fact that they are cold in of themselves and their colour temperature, but the type of light that is pleasing and looks good on people tends to be a little bit warmer. So what you can do is you put a CTO, a colour temperature orange gel, which is just a piece of coloured plastic, on the front of your flash, and it warms up. And I had to go doing that half CTO, I think I used. And I also tried another one where I put a green gel on the front of another flash and fired it at the background to make the background really green, but that didn't really work, because I think the problem was that the gel was a very heavy gel, and it was basically sucking all the light power out of the flash. I needed to really punch that flash up in power, which I didn't do. But it was good. I mean, I think I feel better about using flash now. So I probably spent a good 2 hours out in the garden playing around, and I've definitely learnt a lot about my kit. So, for example, I now know that with these little strobist gels, they're from the Roscoe pack that you can buy online, that if I want to use them on my Yongnuo 560 flash, I'll have to get a gel holder, because although they fit the flash, there's not much an overhang on either side. But with the 460 Mark IIs, I can actually use an elastic band round to hold them into place. I also have discovered that the optical slave system on the 560 is much more sensitive than on the 460 Mark IIs. So what I ended up doing was I had my 460s on the radio transmitters in the umbrellas, and the 560 was working on its optical strobe doing the backgrounds. And the other thing that happened was that for some reason the diffuser and the bounce card actually fell off my 560, which is a bit of a shame, because I don't know, I didn't really do anything. I just popped out of it, bing, and flew out the front. But you know, these Yongnuo flashes are very cheap, so you're kind of expecting them to start falling apart at any moment. And also the fact that I haven't got a clue how to pose. That's why I can't really put the pictures up on Flickr, because I'm just standing there like a shop dummy. So that's something I need to investigate, because not that I want to be a model or anything, but if you want to give other people direction on how they should be posing. You need to know what you're looking for yourself, don't you? One thing I did kind of do as I was playing around was those. I felt it really helpful if the subject, when I was doing me, was always looking towards the light source. And then I would move the camera around to get different shadow effects, which was quite interesting as well. But I think what I need to do now is look at a lot more flash and natural light portraits to kind of absorb some of that knowledge. And then what I'm going to do is plan a photo shoot for Oliver. I think what I'm probably going to do is pay him to do it. But I'm going to plan it in advance with various setups around the garden of the house, some with natural light, some with artificial light with flash. But kind of do it so, like a time is money type of thing, to try and do these different, three or four different setups as quickly as possible, just to play around with that. So good stuff. So I feel my level of flash knowledge is definitely going up. I'm looking forward to learning more. So, Herb Ritz. If you don't know the name, you'll definitely know some of his photographs. One of the most powerful tools we have if you just put into Google Herb Ritz, so H-E-R-B space R-I-T-T-S, and go to image search, loads of his photographs will pop up. And you'll recognise lots of pictures of Madonna, her True Blue photos. He did the Cherish video, that controversial photo of K.D. Lang in a barber's chair while Cindy Crawford was shaving her. Many iconic images of supermodels like Cindy Crawford, Naomi Russell, Christy Turlington, and I think it's Christy Turlington, and a whole load of celebrities as well. Now, sadly, Herb died in 2002, but what he did leave us was a legacy of amazing, I think, and inspirational photographs. And the story of how he became a photographer is pretty cool too, because while he was working, I think in California, as a salesman in his mum and dad's furniture store, he was hanging around with a budding actor friend of his called Richard Gere. And one day, when they were bumming around in the car, they broke down, and Herb took some photos of Richard Gere. And it was just around about the time when Gere was doing his first film, and when the film came out and he needed some publicity shots, Ritz gave the shots to Gere's publicist, and these photos ended up in Vogue America and Esquire. And then what happened was Mademoiselle magazine asked Herb Ritz to then photograph Brooke Shields, and then it all snowballed from there. The rest, as they say, is history. With no formal photographic training, Herb Ritz became one of the most sought after photographers of the 80s and 90s. And I think there are many things to admire in Herbert's works. I love the purity of form and the simplicity of the composition. What's true is he has this great starting point of having amazingly beautiful subjects, and that definitely helps. But he finds the essence of a scene or a portrait, and he distills it down and creates these black and white images that are just really stunning. As I said before, do a Google image search for Ritz, and by the way, they're probably not safe for work. There's a few rude ones on there, and you can kind of be sucked into his world of desert light, black and white film, obviously, and the oh so perfect subjects. We've got those amazing portraits of Christie, Mel Gibson, where the adage of getting closer, could never have been more true. I did actually have a chance to look into some of the technicalities of what he was shooting with, but I definitely get the impression that quite a lot of it was probably medium format because of the depth of field he's getting and the look. But the adage of getting in close, there's this great photo of Mel Gibson, where his eyes are just wild. It's really amazing. Think of them as a little bit cliched now, the poster shots of Fred the mechanic swinging his tyres around. Loads of great shots of Cindy Crawford in the Californian sun, and his mastery of the male and female form. But I think, if you're a fan of striking photography, you'll fall in love with Herb's images too. And all this hyperbole is because I got one of Herb Ritz's books out from the library. Well, I went to Fareham Library, And they've actually got quite a good photo book selection. And I was just flicking through a few of them, and I saw Herb Ritts. I thought, oh yeah, brilliant. Got it outlooked through. Saw, oh, this looks like a brilliant book. And it's called Herb Ritts. And then it's got a subtitle of Foundation Cartier Pour L'Art Contemporain. And the book was produced as a companion to the an exhibition that he was having in Paris in 1999. And it really is very nice indeed. There's some gatefold photos that fold out as well. And there's an interview in the book with Herb Ritts himself. And they really are fabulous, fabulous. I'm just flicking through it now. Fabulous images. Really, really, really nice. Really good, striking stuff. I'm a firm believer in, as I always say, don't I? You know, you could learn great photography by looking at great photographs, and these really are great photographs indeed. So, as I said, the book is called Herb Ritts, Foundation Cartier Pour L'Art Contemporain. And so if you fancy getting into a bit of Herb's work, do the Google search. But you know, you can't be actually physically looking at the photos in a book. And I'd recommend get online with your local library service, because unless you've got a very large library near you, you'll probably find they won't have it in stock. But I know with us, with the Hampshire County Library, you can, if you go down to your local library, they'll sign you up and give you a special PIN number, which you can then go onto the internet and you can check the entire contents of the Hampshire Library system and then order books for a nominal fee. I think it's something like 50p, and so even if the book's up in like Basingstoke, they'll then have it sent to your local library and then give you a ring and say the book's in, come in and pick it up. Because Mr. Ritts, definitely amazing, and you know, a very sad loss to the photographic world. Right, well, that's it for this week. Quite a hopefully nice little short podcast, just to whet your appetite to get out there shooting in this bad weather. Thanks to everybody on Flickr for taking part in the photo group and adding their work to the assignments we've got over there. Thanks for the comments on the website. Thank you very much for everybody who's done a review on iTunes, even if you just added some stars. It helps the visibility of the podcast massively if people give good reviews. Thanks to Everyday Jones, who do the intro and outro music. You can find their stuff for free download at everydayjones.com. But most of all, thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob, from robnunphoto.com. You can email me, scalespeeder@gmail.com, with ideas, questions, anything you like. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.